What does Jesus say about getting all these things on this episode of Inverse?
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
Hey everyone, we are in our last episode in this 13-week arc looking at the will of God. In the last 13 weeks, we looked at all these topics from marriage, sexuality, occupation, family, kids, brothers, sisters, friends, all these things. And now we're concluding the entire arc on all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nice, cool. I'm in the studio here with my friends. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. If you're out there, go to inversebible.org. You can follow along in the study guide and open your Bibles as well, or turn them on, and we'll read it after we have a prayer by Jonathan.
All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the God who supplies all of our needs, the God who cares for us so deeply that you have a plan for each and every one of us. And Lord, as we've been studying throughout this quarter, we just thank you for all the things you have shown us.
Amen.
We pray one more time that you will reveal yourself through the word. This we pray now, believing that you will answer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. For the next 20 so minutes, let's stay with the writings and the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. My version doesn't have the red letter. I don't know if you guys have the red letter version. Yeah. Red letter version. It's cool that these are the words of Jesus. So let's break down what Jesus actually said himself. Go to chapter 6, verse 19. Mm-hmm. And Callie.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Are you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, if you can read that for us.
Okay. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
Okay, verse 25, Siku, if you can pick up.
Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
Okay, Jonathan, pick up on 30.
Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Mm-hmm. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for a day is its own trouble.
Okay, thank you. We've looked at 13 weeks and different aspects about God's will. Mm-hmm. We established that God's will is clearly revealed through the Bible, foundationally. There's other methods too, but foundationally from Scripture. And literally, we took a look at all these things. What are some episodes, just a jump ball question, what are some episodes you remember from looking back at the last 13 weeks that you're like, hey, that was a good episode, or that was a really weird episode that I still remember?
I think of the two that's come out to mind. One is the second episode where we talked about ways in addition that to the Bible that God reveals himself, because the Bible doesn't outline every single detail that we'll go through. Mm-hmm. We have the principles, and it's confirmed through things like providence.
Providence,
I have to
yes.
say it. And godly counsel and things
Key
like that.
From this arc, yeah.
What sticks out to me is we talked about companionship, I guess, different types of companionship, friendship, romantic relationships, relationships with your children. So that's one of the things that stuck out to me, because I feel like life is pretty much made up of relationships, and to know what God's will is with respect to all of these different types of relationships.
Like in episodes of 1 to 2, yeah?
Yeah. Huh?
The episode title was 1 to 2.
Oh, yes, yes, was, the yeah. 1 to 2. Okay.
Yeah. All right, Jonathan?
I really appreciated the episode on friendship. Mm. We talked to we looked at Jonathan and David and how...
Your name is Jonathan.
I wonder why you
of course,
that.
I remember that. But I appreciated the fact that God wants to give us godly friendships that are really powerful, where we can either be mentored or mentor each other or just support each other in a very deep spiritual way. In a walk on this side of heaven, just has really spoken to my heart.
I think it's Closer Than a Brother, the title of that one.
Yes.
I think for me, it was First Things First. I know that we did a whole quarter on stewardship, but another episode about how the Lord wants us to use our finances was a very, very powerful one. I think with the studio was definitely the one on sexual intimacy. after the episode ended, man, everyone's talking about it. I mean, the cameramen are still talking about it. So it was a really good episode. So we praise the Lord for a very good season.
Yes.
In this chapter 6 of Matthew, this is Jesus preaching, and he starts off strong. We're in chapter 6 of Matthew. So this is even before his miracles, before all these things, and he starts off with his Sermon on the Mount. And this really, the center component of his sermon, he's talking about, well, what is he talking about, Jonathan? What is the phrase that's repeated over and over? What's the theme of his message?
Well, before I go into some of the details, I got to just confess, this chapter, or especially this segment we read, is one of those passages in the Bible, for me personally, where I almost like choke up every time I read it. Because it is, yes, it is really powerful, but it's powerful because of its simplicity. It's so beautiful, and we get, it's one of those passages that kind of recalibrate your life. Because Jesus talks about everything, all these things about your life that we all worry about.
Yes.
And then he just like puts it into the right direction and reminds you of what really matters.
Yeah.
So I love that part.
Yeah, let me interject really quickly. When we talk about how to know God's will, that's really the underlying thing is, man, I'm worried. What is God's will? And so God is talking about this here.
Right.
He's addressing our concerns. Anyway.
He's addressing our needs. The beautiful thing about God is he's not just saying, hey, well, you creatures do all these things and obey me. And he's not this stern God. He's a God who cares, who has love for it. It's just so beautiful. And he over and over says in this chapter, to answer your question, do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. I mean, that alone, I'm not a big fan of just meditating upon things, but that is a phrase we should meditate upon more often, coming from God. Do not. If God says, do not worry. I mean, who else has more authority than him to say that?
Yeah. That's a profound point. If God says twice something, it's of some import. But if he says something five times, where is it? Where are those verses where he says, do not worry? Let's see. Verse 25, don't worry about your life or what you eat or you drink.
And he kind of, he doesn't quite say it, but he implies it in verse 27, which if you by worrying can add. So like, why are you worrying? Then verse 28, so why do you worry?
Yes.
So he's not saying don't, but he's literally asking the logical question.
Right.
Like, how does this benefit you in any way if you actually do worry?
Verse 31, what should we eat or drink or should we wear?
Didn't worry.
And verse 34, about tomorrow. So these are really things that are fundamental
to life. So, I mean, he's really touching upon every aspect of life. He's talking about shelter, clothing, food, the things, the fundamental things we need to kind of exist in this experience.
The things that you would typically worry about.
Yes.
And he says, don't worry.
I mean, all business transactions, everything kind of revolves about that.
Okay, I'll be a little literal. Do we really worry about this in the industrialized world? Are we worried about eating and drinking and clothing?
Sometimes, but not so much.
Maybe not in the context of that it's something I worry about to survive, but more in the sense of, well, what are we going to eat today? Which restaurant are we going to today? Well, it's like, what focus, what is my focus on? We very much do worry, focus on these things. It touches upon every aspect of life here. And even though we might not worry about this, as in, but we definitely consume these things.
Yeah, but I like that Jesus chooses to focus on these very basic requirements that we have, because then it's like, if God can provide for us the things that we literally need, not just we think we need, because other things we get add onto this that we worry about, but God's like, you don't actually need that. Like, I know you think you do, but you don't.
Yes.
But the things that we literally need to survive, those things itself, even that, God says, you don't have to worry about that, because I'll provide for you.
So maybe not be literally the what you eat, what you drink, or what you wear, but the fundamentals to survive life.
Yeah.
And in the Western world, that's probably your salary, or a job, or a house, which in the end is what you eat and what you drink and what you wear and all these things. Yeah. Okay, let's continue. What else? What other observations do you see from that passage? Let's study this passage out.
I kind of alluded to it earlier, but when, so verse 27.
Yes.
So which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Mm-hmm. I love the logical question there of just, so if, let's say you do worry, okay, mm-hmm. children of mine, what do you benefit? Do you get taller from that? Like what is the reason? Mm. And I look back at my life and the times that I have fully trusted God in a difficult situation or I've worried about it. And I mean, I like to worry, unfortunately. So then I'm like, no, I got to find a reason that was good for me to worry. But there's none. Like it's just.
And then you're worried about is that you have no reason.
Yeah, and I'm just spiraling. Don't have to worry. But this idea that, you know, even it's not even just God's like, don't worry. I know it's good for you, but I say don't. Like, no, there's no reason. There's no reason to, and there's no benefit from it.
Yes.
So it's even in our best interest. And it just goes back to God is always has our best interest in mind. And all of these things that he tells us to do are not arbitrary because God is bored. And he wants to have new rules.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But he's always like, what is best for you? It's best for you? Not to worry. Best for you to trust me.
I do appreciate that God gives reasons here. Jesus is giving reasons not to worry, about the stature. Mm-hmm. He also says in verse 19, there's rationale to not to a reason. And sometimes, you know, it can kind of be kind of annoying. It's like, hey, don't worry about it. I'm like, I don't have a house. Oh, don't worry about it. I don't have income, you know, don't worry about it. So it's not a write-off.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Jesus is not writing off your scenario. But he says in verse 19, do not lay up, and he mentions three things in verse 19, moth, rust, and thieves. Mm. And just like the eating and the drinking should not be taken literally, the moth and the thieves and rust aren't to be literally. Moth is biological decay. Mm-hmm. Rust is chemical and time. Itself will decay. Mm-hmm. And the thieves, like human beings, will take these things away.
Right.
So you can't trust time. You can't trust human beings. And you can't trust the natural conditions of life and biology and in the environment. They're just going to, whatever you have, it's going to erode on your natural things that you have. They're going to go away.
Right.
Which is discouraging if you just left it there.
Yeah.
When we come back after the break, we're going to look at what does Jesus say? What is his answer to all of this? And he brings in the Gentiles to get us a little jealous. And he gives us a promise of all these things. So stay with us.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
Hey, we are in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, the three elements of moth, rust, and thieves. You can't trust human beings. You can't trust time. You can't trust the environmental conditions of things because they're going to erode what you already have. And it's almost and God's being compassionate here. I mean, you work 7 days a week or 5 days a week or 6 days a week. You wake from like 6 to, you know, I don't know what time in agricultural society. I'm not a farmer. But you're working so hard and you store up all these things and then to have it just all go to waste, and he's having compassion and say, hey, how better can you use or store up your treasures? Verse 20, lay it for yourselves where?
In heaven.
And verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's the reason why, hey, don't worry, because all your things will be secure in heaven. Mm-hmm. That's implicitly what Jesus
and
is saying.
And he's talking about quality of life, you know, and I like that because sometimes we can think of God as just caring about do's and don'ts, etc., but he wants us to have, I think like what I said before, a good life. So if your heart is where your treasure is and your treasure is in these things that are going to be destroyed, then you're going to be heartbroken. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want you to be walking around with a broken heart.
Yeah.
He's saying lay up your treasures where I can take care of your heart, you know, and make sure that you live a happy life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we think about what are treasures in heaven, okay? What is it that God is trying to tell us here? Because when you focus just on the earthly things, these things that moth and rust and thieves will take away from you, what is it that really is important? And so when I think about this, you know, with the kingdom of heaven, the treasures in heaven, it is other people. Mm. Because besides all these things that we need for our lives to be sustained, what else is there? Mm. There is nature and then there's people, right? Mm. Mm-hmm. So what God wants us to focus on is relationships with each other. And we talked about this in, you know, our episode on church and all this and things in community. So when we put our focus on what matters, which is other people, we will gain much more. Yes, even treasures in heaven, because we might be a blessing to them and may lead them to Christ, and they will be with us in heaven. Mm-hmm. Much more important than, okay, do I have the newest outfit or the newest this or that? I think it's just really profound that Jesus puts, as you said, the quality of life here into the center of attention.
I think it's confirmed in verse 32 and 33. I'm going to go for the jugular. This is the apex of Jesus' sermon. Verse 32, for after all these things, so all these things that we've just been talking about, where are we?
The Gentiles
seek. Mm-hmm. And here he's making even a nationalistic comment. So, hey, Gentiles seek all these. The Austrians are all into singing. The Zimbabweans are all into zimming. And then the Americans are all into, you know, speaking really loud as tourists, you know.
That's
and then Koreans are all about, you know, self-defense, you know, whatever it is. And then he says, as Gentiles, they just seek all these things. And his implicit comment here in this constitutional inauguration of Jesus' ministry is that Christians, the thing that characterizes Christians is they're not singing people, they're not a zimming people, they're not they don't sit loud, they're not, you know, violent. they don't worry. They don't worry. That's what characterizes this, in a sense, this nationality, this passport. And in verse 32, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Kelly.
Well, you can't touch it like that.
Oh, okay.
Well, I was going to give a story just of how much people notice this. When I was doing my first year of college and we had a big test coming up, they had a study group that was going to meet on Saturday afternoon. I told them I wouldn't be there because Sabbath. They're like, you're going to fail this test. I'm like, cool, I'll see you Monday. And we came to Monday.
You said it that way with those
cool.
snap fingers.
I did.
You did.
I didn't at all. I just said, yeah, okay, I'll see you Monday. So anyway, so it came to Monday and my friends had met up on Saturday. Had studied a lot, and I came to the test, and I studied as much as I could by myself on Sunday and on Friday, but I was just kind of like at peace because I'm like, it is what it is. Jesus loves me either way, so let's do this. And my friends who had studied at least twice as much as I had were still freaking out, and so I'm like sitting there with my notes and just kind of reviewing, and my friends are coming to sit down. They're like, Cal, aren't you stressed? And I'm like, no. They're like, why not? Like, because it's just a test. Like. And they're like, so you think you're going to get an A? I'm like, well, I hope I'll get an A, but no, I don't know. They're like, I don't understand why you're not super uptight about this. But it really was the peace of Jesus. And they knew I was a Christian, and one of them even said, like, because you prayed, didn't you? I'm like, actually, yeah. And they're like, oh, okay. You want to pray for us? I was like, sure, I'll pray for you guys. And so it became a witnessing moment. And I wasn't over here like flaunting like, I have the peace of God. Hello. But it's just people could notice that
frown
difference.
On your,
hello.
Yes.
Hello. But sometimes people feel like they need to flaunt these virtues or these graces that God has given. But people see it because they feel their lack. And so they can really see that in someone else. I don't know. So I don't know where you're going.
Well, what happened on the test?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I got an A.
You got an A.
Praise God.
Amen.
Do you know what the others got? They failed the test.
I actually can't remember. I can make something up.
No.
They failed because they didn't love God. I don't know.
Okay, that's cool.
They were stressed though.
Amen.
But I do just want to go back just a little bit to this idea that of verse 24 of talking about serving God versus mammon. And I know sometimes we have this idea of like, well, I don't serve money at all. Like, that's not, I'm not about that. But also don't serve God. So I serve nothing. But that's not an option. We are always masters. We're always slaves to something. We're always serving something. And it could be self, it could be money, and which kind of ends up being the same thing. So we can't just say like, well, I don't do either one. And so because all of this, you know, verses 25 through 32, it's like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And then verse 33, but the pivotal conjunction there, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So do this instead, not just don't worry, full stop. But all that focus, all of that energy that you're putting towards worrying and making a life for a name for yourself, you need to shift that focus, and with the same amount of energy, if not more so, focus that on the glory of God.
So you're either serving all these things or serving God.
Yep.
Yeah. And I love this because God, Jesus says here that God knows you have need of all these things. So you keep the kingdom of God central, and I love the central, and then all these things is peripheral. So it's kind of like I still see Callie on my peripheral vision, but center is the back of my hand. Too often we have all these things as central, and the kingdom of God is just somewhere. If he blesses, fine. But if he doesn't, fine. You know, this is what you're at.
There's an incredible peace, and you kind of mentioned it already, that comes with surrendering all these things to God and saying, hey, Lord, if you want me to have a house, okay. If you want me to live out of my car, okay. You know, if you want me to have a full fridge, okay. Whatever it is, surrendering these things to God and knowing that he is in control. And I don't have to worry about it. The peace that comes from that, it passeth all understanding.
Yes.
And so what I love is, as you said, is that God does know that we have these needs. He's not saying, oh, you shouldn't have these needs.
Right.
He's saying, yeah, you have these needs. I know.
Right.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Trust me. Trust me, there's something more important than that.
Right.
Yeah, and I just want to add, I want to share a short testimony from some close friends of mine that I don't think they'll mind. But the reason I'm sharing is because sometimes we think like God will give us the bare minimum, like, oh, here's bread and water. I provided for you, I'm out. And sometimes, you know, he does that, but like God can give us abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so her and her husband and their two daughters have been looking for a place to live, and they really want to have their own place for themselves and their in-laws and like kind of a rural area. Like, this is impossible with our budget. Like, this, there's no way. And so she told me about that. I'm like, yeah, I'll pray for you. And I'm praying. But then she calls me back. She's like, Callie, we found a place in our budget, and these people like came in, it's the perfect place. It's 7 minutes from where they are. They can go to the same church, be in the same community. And she's like, you know, the funny thing is the name of the street is called Faith Court. And it's just as if Jesus was like, this custom-made thing that you want, here you go.
Literal sign, yeah.
Because she'd even made a list of the 10 things that she wanted. She's like, we'll be happy if we get 6 of them. She got all 10. And she's like, I think that's too much for God. But God is like, just watch me work. Watch me provide for you, and just don't worry. Because I'm the God of the universe, and I can literally do all things.
So let's get here. She gave a great illustration here, but let's get practical, okay? We've been talking about how to know God's will, okay? Read the Bible, can you relationship, da-da-da-da-da. But here, what Jesus is talking about is when it comes to decision-making and the intention of your decision-making, when it comes down to the final, you know, the thing coming down, what's the idiom? When you have to make a decision, I don't know what the idiom is, but whatever, fill in the blank or whatever language you use. When you have to make that decision, verse 33 has to shine. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we sing the song and it becomes cliche, but as Jonathan said, what are we taking to heaven? We're taking other souls, the kingdom of heaven. God is not into, you know, real estate. He doesn't need us to buy more land on earth, but more people. And in his righteousness, meaning his character. Yes. So I take my character, then my Jesusness, and then my fellow brothers and sisters with me. So in every decision we make, and so I want to ask you, how do we do that? How is the kingdom of God embedded into the decision-making process we make? And how is God's will revealed through that? This is getting really real.
That's a good question.
But the problem is I was going to digress a bit from the question first.
Okay, we'll come back. Jonathan? Okay.
Well,
and then we'll come back to Siku.
So I think an important point here is that we don't take ourselves so seriously. Sometimes we have a certain idea of how things are supposed to be. And then when we come to the point of decision making, oh, this is what I really want, and oh, this is what the kingdom of God is all about, and I'm going to sacrifice so much. When we come to the point of like, you know what, I have my plans, but hey, I think God's plan is better, even if I don't see it right away. If we learn to trust him that way, it becomes easier, those decision making. But it's hard, especially when you make big life decisions, you know, what job to take, what to buy, whatever it is. And so in that moment, when we learn to trust God that he has all these things for us, then and not to take ourselves too seriously in the process, but taking God seriously, he will bless us with the things that we need, and he will give us more abundant and above, as your story was, all 10 points, if we make him first. It's a beautiful promise.
All right.
Well, what I was going to say is that what the verse points to is that that relationship with God needs to be the most important thing, right? More important than the stuff that God gives to you. I had a friend ask me one time, why is it that, we say seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to you, but you find that the countries or the people who are most faithful tend to be poor, right? They don't have all these things, literally. They're not thinking about which restaurant to eat in. Yes. They're thinking about having food on their table.
Exactly.
It's like, and so aren't they seeking God, right? And so if you're seeking God, how come they don't have all these things, so to speak? Mm-hmm. And that question itself betrays the fact that we're not getting the crux of this message, is that the whole point is to have God central. Mm-hmm. And trusting God that whatever it is that I do need, you will provide. So if I don't have a roof over my head, mm-hmm. it's because I don't need it. And what I need to be focused on is seeking God's kingdom, right? In some instances, it actually takes not having bread on my table in order for me to realize that I need to be seeking God. Mm. So for the sake of me having that relationship with Him, He's going to deprive me of certain things in order for me to get the most important thing and make the first things first.
Mm-hmm. And the testimony of people who are willing to take God seriously and live for Him, even if they do not have these things, even if it's not even, sometimes it might not even be a thing from God. It might just be a casualty of this great battle between good and evil that we are in. But they are in this situation and they are nevertheless, like Job, I will still trust in Him. I will still trust in Him. Those testimonies are the most powerful because they love God above everything else despite the sacrifice they have to go through.
When I see this verse of 33, it says, seek ye first. Mm-hmm. There's an active verb, an active, an action that I have to take place. Yeah. So in our decision-making process, when we have an A or a B, it's not whether A or B is God's will or not. Mm-hmm. Am I seeking God's kingdom through A or through B is what Jesus is getting at. It's a decision-making process in your heart. So if you have a mortgage out there, and one mortgage you think will expand the kingdom of God and another mortgage doesn't, clearly His will is defined. Mm-hmm. If there's one person and this person will help you become a better evangelist for the kingdom and another person doesn't, then clearly the person you're supposed to marry has been revealed by God. This is done by the grace of God who reveals it into your heart and through the revelation of Scripture in your mind. Mm-hmm. This entire 13-week arc has been a blessing to me personally. I think of each one of my friends here, and hopefully it's been a blessing to you. May you be blessed in knowing the will of God for your life. We'll see you next time here in Inverse.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Kelly Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.